Blog Talk Radio.
It's to you.
Imagine defying the odds, getting married, and actually living happily ever after. Does it seem too good to be true? Well, believe it or not, it is possible, and many people succeed. Stay tuned. Welcome to the Healthy Baby Boomers Network Blog Talk Radio Show. I'm your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, licensed mental health counselor, spiritual relationship healer, somatic body psychotherapist, and health and wellness coach, helping men and women heal their bodies and their relationships through love. Author of the book Love Me, Touch Me, Heal Me, and the book and Kindle series, and the romantic novel Love in the Blizzard of Life, and creator of Healing Through Love seminars, Love Touch Heal Relationship System, and my favorite, the 30 Love Lessons for the Soul. And another, it's a 30-day challenge, and it will be coming up again soon. And the upcoming Healing Recovery Retreat that will be coming in about a month. This show is all about living your dreams, fulfilling your life purpose, and creating and sustaining love and health and total well-being for the rest of your life, no matter what age you are right now. In every episode, I speak with vibrant, exciting, and positive men and women who are proving that life can and often does get better and better as we reach our 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, and beyond. LaToya J.R. Borders is a marriage coach. She coaches committed couples, including newlyweds. Her coaching focuses on what you need, what you want, and what's preventing you from having it. Specifically, she teaches you how to connect more, communicate better, and how to co-create a long-lasting marriage. That means both of you creating it together. She helps you create a plan to help you achieve your goals elegantly, effectively, and efficiently. Along the way, she provides teaching, support, encouragement, and real-time feedback that keeps you accountable for the result that you really want to create. And her Happily Ever After Summit is something really worth checking into, and it's on the site, the link. So I'm delighted to welcome you, LaToya Borders.
Oh, thank you so much, Dr. Erica Goodstone. I'm so happy to be here.
So now, please tell us a little bit about your background, education, training, and life experience. What led you to become a coach, to work with couples, married couples, and then to create a summit?
Well, it's so funny that you asked me that, because originally it just started off as me helping the people that were closest to me. I found that what I thought was very easy and everybody knew was not true. Had family members and friends say, "Hey, how are you and your husband always so connected?" I said, "Well, we work at it." They said, "But you guys don't seem like you have problems." Everybody has problems, but we focus on conquering those problems, one issue at a time. And we really want to have a really unique and happy marriage. We want our marriage to look exactly how we want it to look. We didn't want it to look like my parents. We didn't want it to look like anybody else that we knew. We found that It just wasn't the example that we wanted. We're a little bit out there. We're a little bit weird sometimes. And we were like, wow, we finally figured out we didn't have to have a marriage that looked exactly like our neighbors. And so that's kind of how I got into coaching because I really wanted people to understand and know that you can have the marriage that you want. Specifically, you and your husband can have exactly what you want, exactly what you need, and exactly what you expect out of your relationship.
So can you give an example of what you mean by that? That it's not like
so
your parents?
For not like my parents.
That's
so
a
my
funny
mom,
question.
Not like my parents. Coincidentally, my parents are divorced. But my mom had a lot of advice to give. People always have so many things they tell you right before you get married. Don't have babies quickly because you want to have a long honeymoon phase. Make sure you keep some secrets from each other to keep things spicy. We thought, nah, we don't really like that. That feels not right for us. And we actually wanted to have kids at a really young age. We got married. I got married when I was 24. I wanted children right away. I wanted to be a young grandparent. Everybody else said, no, don't do that. You need time for you and your husband to get to know each other. We've been together now 10 years, 31. We've been together a decade now, and we have two great children, and we built that the way we wanted to from the beginning. We didn't listen to what other people thought was the best way about going about being married. Also, my husband is an at-home dad. We work our business together, but he takes care of the children. My parents were like, what is going on? They were just like flabbergasted that he could be an at-home dad and I could be the person out there, going to work and networking with people. So that's when I say we're a little out of the box for our family.
But I would say a lot of couples are like that, out of the box.
Mm.
I mean, my marriage was never typical either. And yet, people give so much advice because it makes them uncomfortable when you don't fit with the way they think it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't make you happy. And I'm not going to sit here and say that we didn't in the beginning kind of fall for the okie doke. We were like, well, you know, they're more wise. They've been here longer. They've experienced life. Maybe we should try this way. And the more we tried other people's way, the more we took other people's advice about what a happy marriage looked like, the more we became miserable. And we just stopped and said, this is not working. And I said, honey, I don't care if you take out the garbage. He was like, but I'm supposed to. I said, I do not care. Now, he does anyway now. That's just part of what he does. But those things weren't big to me. Those little things that people say, this is your role as a woman and this is your role as a man, those weren't big to us. He says, babe, I like it when you dress comfortable. You don't have to get all made up. I said, well, I thought that's what a wife does. I thought that's what you wanted me to do. He said, no. And the more you do things that other people are telling you is going to make me happy, the more unhappy you are. And my happiness to him was paramount.
But that's a key right there, that you've chosen someone who cares about your happiness. I found there are many couples, in both sides, not just the man, the woman also, that don't care so much about the other person's happiness. They care about what they want. So they want that partner, like a lot of men will want their woman to dress up a certain way, to look sexy, whether she wants to dress that way or not. That's one example I've seen.
Yeah. I just find it to be, I thought that everyone thought like me and my husband. I didn't think, I thought like this was a norm.
Right.
And thought this was a norm. And then I found out, no. Some people expect certain things, but this is when that conversation happens in the beginning. I like to say it's the foundation of your marriage plan. What you want, what you need, and what you mentally, spiritually, and physically from your spouse. What are those things? And then what do they need in return? And can you both negotiate so it's a win-win situation for both of you guys? A lot of those conversations aren't happening because we're living on the surface. You got to get deep and connect with a person and really get what they want out of life. And then mash that together and make great dreams together.
That's incredible what you're saying, because a lot of people are so thrilled to find the person, like they find somebody that's special and that person likes them too, and they're so caught up in that they are not evaluating, what do I really want? What does this person really want? You know, so it may look nice at the beginning, but they didn't have those conversations. How do you work with them as a marriage coach to get those conversations going?
Well, that part of it is the foundation part, like I said. That usually takes about 3 to 6 months. Because what we found working with couples is a lot of people don't know what they want first. First, they got to get in contact or connect with, what do I really want from my husband? What do I really expect from him? What do I really need from him? We know these simple things. I want him to be a provider. I want him to be sensitive to me. I want to have that spark. But what does that look like on a day-to-day basis? So we go through that step-by-step with each individual person and have them really get connected to themselves. Because the one mistake that we're making, and this is just as people in general, we think that our partner has to make us happy. That's a lot of pressure to put on somebody. You have to make me happy. When I wake up, I want you to do something that's going to make me happy. No, you control your own happiness. If you are full and know what you want, need, and expect, and you are telling your partner that and they're meeting that expectation, sometimes they won't meet it. Sometimes we fall a little bit short. But if it's already out there and you're self-confident, your love, and your respect for one another, then you'll wake up happy, with or without your partner doing every single thing that makes you happy that day. So that's like the foundation
Some of the things that you want from your partner, it's just not what they're capable of doing. Thinking of an example of a woman really likes a guy to be good in business because she's good in business, but he's a loving, gentle person and not a business type person. So if she loves him and appreciates his gentleness, then she has to not expect him to be like a tough business guy. That's just one kind of example I can think of.
That is a perfect example of my life right now. That is a perfect example. I am like very ambitious. I have all these dreams and goals, and my husband, thank God that I have him, is so supportive. For some reason in the beginning, I thought that we both have to be these same type of beings. But what happens now is that we both get to complement each other. His support helps me lead in a way that I never could have led if I was by myself or if I was with another person who was just like me.
And I have something like that also. When I first got married many years ago, my husband expected me to think the way he does. He watches every penny and fights for every penny. If we went to get a mortgage or a car payment, he would expect me to handle it the way he does. And I would never handle things that way. I would give money away. But over the years, it became something like good cop, bad cop. So I go into the car dealership to lease a car, and they think, they've got a sucker here. You know, I'm going to get the right thing. And then he gets on the phone and starts his negotiating, and they don't know what hit them. But he doesn't make me do that. I don't have to do that anymore. I can just be myself. And that's what we all want to be. We want to be happy.
Isn't that
together.
Great? You get to just be yourself and be happy and let your partner support you in the way that they can. And it's always crazy. You always meet the person who the things that you are not focusing on, and that's just not, they compliment you. That's really what the partnership is. You're complimenting each other, and you're kind of learning that through the years. At first, it feels like that those are the things that are so tense, and it's a contingency between you. Like probably you were saying, like, he watches every penny, and you're like, I'll donate today.
before that could have been a contingency.
Right.
But then, you know, after the years go, okay, this is my role in our marriage. I like to give. I like to be generous. I like to donate. He says, okay, honey, now I understand this about you, but let's not go over this amount. You make those negotiations. I don't say compromise because I feel like when you compromise,
I totally agree.
Loses.
Years ago, I was told, that was one of the things I was told before getting married, you know, it's a compromise. I always hated that word, and I love negotiation. Not that I'm good at negotiating, but I like the term and the ability to negotiate.
I mean, it just, it's part of, it's one of the best parts of communicating with your spouse. Because, like I said, the compromise thing, when somebody is losing, usually when it's compromising being done, happening by the same person over and over and over again. It's always one person compromising more than the other, usually. And then after
right.
a while, you might become resentful. You know, like, I'm always compromising. Other person who's used to getting their way are like, hey, why are you changing things up? I'm used to this now. So if you start off with negotiating where both of you are winning, I just feel like it's just the better foundation is set for your marriage. You should both be feeling like this is what's happening. I want what you want. I might not want what you want, but I can see your perspective, and let's see how we can both get what we want out of this.
Right. Both get what we want. So you said that's the foundation stage. So then what's next?
Communication, which everybody says is in the beginning of your marriage, like communication is key, but then that's it. They just kind of leave you there with that. I'm like, okay, does that just mean I talk to him all day long? Because with my husband, that would drive him crazy. He doesn't want to talk all day long. And I find that
this is so important because people think that they're communicating. Like they say, I tell him to do this and this. I tell him what I want. But she tells him in an angry attitude, a demanding attitude, at the wrong time. So how do you help people to communicate well?
Goodness. It's a very in-depth part of our marriage plan, because if you don't get the communication part right, and when I say right, I don't mean everybody doesn't communicate the same. I mean right for you and your husband or you and your wife, then it affects every part of your relationship. So the first thing I like to do, and I always like to start off with something that connects together, because once you have that connection, it's easier to get through everything else. When you're not arguing or at each other's throat, but you're in that nice gazing in your eyes moment, those are the good points we can start from. So I like to start with each other's love language. And usually you don't know it. Everybody's like, okay, what it is? They read the book, but they don't use it. And you usually love your partner how you want to be loved. And so when your partner figures out, oh, well, she likes me to give her words of encouragement, he doesn't notice that that's what she does with him all the time. He would prefer she be maybe a little bit more physical. And I just don't mean sexual. I mean like touching and hugging and just giving him a pat on the back or rubbing his neck, that type of love language. When you get to that moment where your connection flows, then we can go deeper. So the first part of the communication is really finding out what your love language is. And then the second most important piece is how are you going to argue? And everybody's like, what is that? You're going to argue, so you need to plan for it. It's just inevitable. You're going to have disagreements or points where you have these confrontations. It's part of marriage. It's part of growing pains in your marriage. It happens. But when it happens, how are you going to let it affect your marriage? Are you going to hit below the belt? Are you going to control your nonverbal with your partner? When I say nonverbal, I mean like your facial expressions, your tone, and the way you're giving it to them. All of that has to be talked about before anything. You have to learn how to communicate with your partner in a way that's effective, respectful, and considerate. I always tell people when I first start working with, I said, have you noticed that you and your partner are more considerate to perfect strangers than you are to yourself? After, not to yourself,
so
to your partner. You go to Safeway, you're like holding the door open for the next person, or you're saying, have a good day. But you leave the house, you're like, bye, babe, and just gone. Or it's kind of like you come in the room and you turn the channel and don't ask or something like that. So when you have that, when you're learning how to communicate and argue effectively with your spouse, that's the second level. And that's a deep level because we have the verbals, we have the nonverbals, we have your facial expressions and your tones. All of that plays a big part. You know, when you're looking at your person like, yeah, I'm okay, but the look on your face is saying, no, I'm not okay. We have to learn to control those things.
Well, there's another piece. There are people that grew up in a family that screamed a lot or, you know, has a temper tantrum. And people are not going to be able to just never have that happen again because if it's so
culture.
Ingrained when in their culture, when if they grew up that way, they're going to get like that again. But it's how you can respond. If you understand that they get like that, it's temporary, you know, and you don't build on it.
You can also, you can very much need to learn your spouse's family culture because I come up from a family of like talkers and screamers, and my husband comes
right.
from a family of non-communicators. So while I'm like fussing and yelling and screaming, he's looking at me like, you're crazy. And I'm like, why aren't you yelling and screaming back? And why aren't you communicating? But when we learned that about each other, it made us take a step back. So now my husband knows when, like, if I raise my voice, I'm not necessarily mad. I'm just very, very passionate. If he's not talking, it does not mean he doesn't have something that he wants to say. It's just that he thinks more before he speaks. But that is also a growing pain within your marriage, and you just have to learn those things about each other. It's kind of like if he was born in, Asia, and I was born in Russia, and we're both speaking two different languages, right? Now we have to learn each other's language and each other's different dialect of that language. And now in our own household, we have to create our own culture of how we talk, how we argue, how we discuss things with each other. It goes deep. It goes really deep.
Yeah, it's beautiful the way you described it because it is that complex. Even if we came from a similar culture, it doesn't matter because your family dynamics were different.
Yeah, exactly.
One family is very educated. The other one is more business oriented. You know, you never know what the family background is, or people with drugs and alcohol in their family background.
And that's a whole nother level. And so I want to touch on this last part of it. It's where you create your unique plan after we've been through the foundation, after we've been through communication. Now it's really time to shape the marriage and relationship that you want. Because marriage is just a covenant. Really, it's the relationship that people are talking about. And your unique plan should support your individual purpose in life and support your collective goals and aspirations. So I love connecting with people and interacting with people. My husband supports that. He knows that my purpose in life is to serve people. But our collective vision and goal is we want to build a family that has a legacy for our names. We love interacting with our community. So we want to really leave an impact on our direct community. You got to have those dreams and goals with each other because really that's the ultimate of you and your husband's relationship. We're not just together just to be together. We're together to add
right.
to one another, to add to our children's lives, and to grow and be better.
That's beautiful.
So that's where
and
the plan
also,
comes in. I love it.
To have your dreams matching, because a lot of times one person has a dream of travel or something, and the other one has a completely different dream.
And how do you get those dreams to mesh up together? And then sometimes people think, oh, like our dreams are so far apart, like there's no way we can work it out. You can always figure it out. The thing is, it's your unique plan. The first thing that happens to us when we start dreaming is we stop ourselves. We limit ourselves in what we can actually achieve in our life by other examples around us. Don't do that. You and your husband can have any type of lifestyle that you want. I am a minimalist. I don't like to, like, buy, like, a lot of clothing. I like to keep things, like, super neat and clean and straight. My husband loves clothes. He loves, like, designer clothes, like, everything, like, a million shoes. He loves that. You would think, like, oh, it would be difficult for us to, like, live together and work that out. But our life looks different than other people. He has his clothes, and I get to keep my minimum lifestyle. You get to have that. I would like to travel for a year. He says, okay, well, I'm not a traveler. He does not like change. He likes consistency, stability. That is him. But he says, okay, if we have this consistent, stable home, I will agree to travel with you for a year. As long as we get to keep our home, we can go and travel. You just work it out.
That's beautiful.
For you and your husband. You can figure it out. It's your unique marriage plan.
Right, and there are some couples where the partner just will not travel. So maybe you travel by yourself or with a friend.
Maybe you travel.
If you really want to do it. Yeah.
And they
and
support
you, come back.
You in that. They support
right,
you in that way.
So
honey, I can't
like,
leave. I'm so sad. Yes.
Right, you really have
sorry,
to do whatever your passion is, you have to follow it, because if you keep suppressing it, it doesn't make anybody happy.
Your partner should be helping you fulfill all your passions and purpose in life. They should be supporting you. If they can't actively be a part of like getting you there, just the actual support of it, because really that's what we need. We need that connection. We need to feel that someone understands us in this crazy, weird way that we think and still is standing by us.
Mhm. That's beautiful. So what interferes with couples staying connected and working through these things?
Oh, life. life pops up. You're like, oh, that really happened. Yes, life will always be there. And if you don't have a plan in place, it will take over. Routine will take over. Other people's opinions about what your life should look like will take over. I promise you, if you don't have a marriage plan, someone will give you theirs, and you'll be following it without even knowing that that's exactly what you're doing. And routine,
usually. It's amazing
because
people think in terms of the importance of a business plan and maybe even a health and fitness plan. You know, we go to a trainer and work out a plan, a diet plan. You don't think of a marriage and relationship plan. That's really beautiful.
I mean, I didn't. I learned about it on my own. And, you know, me and my husband do research and stuff like that. But, you know, when you first get married, they tell you you can go to, like, the premarital counseling. We did that. And they really didn't teach us a lot. They opened up questions for us, which was really great. But they didn't really do any readiness training with us. Like, how do you get ready to be married? We spent so much money, so much time on the actual wedding day. It lasted 4 or 5 hours. And then the next day we woke up and we're married and we're like, what next? Okay, now what? We're married. We love each other. What's next?
That's incredible. Because that's what happens to so many people. How funny.
I'm a smart person. How come I didn't think of that? That's how it felt like. I spent like almost a year planning this one day, and I didn't think of what about all of the days after this day? I'm binding myself, tying myself, committing myself to this person, and I didn't think about what are the days going to look like after we get married. And it was overwhelming.
Wow.
It was scary after I realized that, but then it got really, really fun because then I got back into planning mode, and that was great for me because I like to plan experiences and fun stuff, so I was like, wow, my life is going to be great now that I know that I can plan it and have, like, this whole adventure mapped out for myself. Me, myself, my
That's
husband,
so
and
funny.
My kids.
That's beautiful. So tell us what you're passionate about at the moment.
I am super passionate about this summit that I'm giving. It's a free virtual online summit you're on it. So I'm uber excited about that because you get so much value.
Wonderful.
I love it. I'm like meeting all of these experts that are helping couples. And let me tell you the name of it. It's called the Happily Ever After Summit. And it's all about how you can co-create a marriage filled with love, intimacy, and adventure. All the things that I love. And we're teaching people,
right,
giving them resources on how to have the marriage that they want. Everybody wants that connection. Everybody wants that love, that desire, that spark, and a sense of adventure and just a life that's full. And this is what the summit is about. And the experts that are coming, I mean, are amazing. We have sexologists, entomologists, which I didn't even know what that was. But it's somebody who focuses on intimacy. I love it. And I'm super excited about it, and I cannot wait. It airs April 17th, and cannot wait for everybody just to get a chance to tune into it.
I just love that you add the piece about adventure, because one of the problems with marriage is that so many people think the adventure is when they were single, and the adventure is when they're having an affair and looking at someone younger or someone different. But the adventure can come from co-creating fun in your marriage.
It can be so much fun. So much fun. I tell you, I have fun all the time with my husband. Yesterday, I took a early dinner with just him and me, and I was like, I have a really great life with him, but it happened on purpose. It was very intentional. We didn't start out that way. The first 2 years were quite shaky for us because we didn't know which way we were going. But now that we have direction and we know where we're going in our marriage, and we get to experience all these dream things that we thought about even before we got married together, it's amazing.
It's beautiful. So tell us how people can get in touch with you, and how can they join the summit?
Well, they can join the summit at happilyeverafterlive.com. That's happilyeverafterlive.com. And if you want to connect with me, coincidentally, it's connect2designlove.com. That's connect and the number 2designlove.com. Or definitely reach out to me on Facebook at Latoya J.R. Borders or Instagram, same thing, Latoya J.R. Borders. I am always open to talking to people. I love having conversations, as you can see, and I love connecting with people. So reach out to me. Let's have a conversation and definitely join the summit. It's going to be super exciting.
Latoya, it is such a joy to connect with you. And I can hear your passion and the beautiful marriage and family that you've created. And you can help so many people with this. So to our listeners, you can find the link right on this page. So, Latoya,
thank you so much for joining me. Thank you.
And
have a great day. Much love.
And much love to you, too. And I am your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, saying goodbye for now. Please visit my website, healthybabyboomersnetwork.com, to get your free report about how to live to 100 and beyond. And if you're ready for lasting love, check out the 30-Day Love Challenge. You can find that and many free reports at drericagoodstone.com. I look forward to speaking to you again soon.